Yesterday, we started out talking about the divine requirement and how important it is for each and every Christian to understand that there is a divine requirement and it is absolute. And, of course, that is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, being, everything, continually. Now, that's extremely important because if the Christian does not have a revelation of that fact, that spiritual reality, they will not understand the book according to the fullness of the Father's purpose. They will not understand it because our God is an absolute God, as it was said yesterday. And when he wrote this, he wrote it with the divine requirement in view, in other words, in light of the divine requirement. And it really does simplify things for us because we are able to take that absolute statement that God made and apply it by the Holy Spirit, or allow the Holy Spirit to apply it to our lives. And then we will be a people who abide in that spirit of wisdom and revelation. We also talked about the fact that a heart wholly given is the key to understanding all things. All things. That's all things pertaining to the church. It's all things pertaining to life and godliness. It's extremely important. There's deep, deep darkness entering into the atmosphere of this earth in this time. But praise God, there's a glorious remnant being raised up that will far outshine and consume that very darkness. But we must be a diligent people. Then we talked about the fact that in Ephesians 3, it talks about the fact that we must be rooted and grounded in love that we may be able to comprehend. See, all these things work together. God is an absolute God, and he's not left us with scriptures that are separate from this or that. You can take any scripture in the Bible and it points to the fullness of his plan. So we, as we're rooted and grounded in love through an abiding fellowship with him, then we will understand all things. We will be able to comprehend his heart. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see." So again, the importance of having a pure heart before God. We talked a bit about, or a lot about, intimacy with God on his terms being the key to the fullness of our transition into everything that he created us to be. Again, absolute principles. In the Word of God, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that today, the importance of giving the Word of God preeminence on his terms, not on our terms. You know, we can talk the talk, but we need to be talking the talk and walking the walk. We have to realize that in the Word of God is the very presence of God himself. And the revelation of everything that we need to be, a revelation of everything we need to be all that we were created to be in Christ. We talked a bit about godly desire and self-desire. Only two types of desires in our existence. We're either going to have a desire to do the will of God, or we're going to have a desire to serve self. The desire to serve God leads to a life of faith and absolute dependence and trust upon the Father and his Word. A life of self leads to deception and the believing of the lies of the enemy. And then I shared with you the vision about the school platform and the importance of every Christian coming to the place where they realize that we are all equal in the Father's sight. That is another absolute statement. That's not some nice thought or nice sentiment. That's spiritual reality. We, in these days, we are becoming a people who abide in spiritual reality. Our reality is what God has said, what God has done, what God is doing, what God is speaking in the now, not what we see with our five physical senses. I shared about the fact that we're a people that are to live by faith, to walk by love, to walk by obedience, to walk by revelation, to walk by the anointing that abides within us, and not by sight, not by the five physical senses. I'll just read this little word. We are all equal in the sight of the Father. When one spends the proper time in the inner chamber, they will come to see themselves through his eyes. That is so important. How much trouble has been caused by the children of God holding on to a vision that's not from God, a vision of whatever you see. Instead of seeing it through his eyes, we still see it through the devil's eyes, or what the devil attempts to try and get us to see. And if we believe that, we'll always fall far short of the place where God wants us to be. We must be a people that abide in a righteousness consciousness, in a Christ consciousness, in a body of Christ consciousness, in a kingdom consciousness, not a sin consciousness. As we are diligent to do that, then we will gain a continually deeper revelation of the blood of Jesus, which again is part of that cycle of elevating us into that place of the ascension life, being seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, and abide there. That's where we want to be. That's where we need to be. That's where we will be. And from that place, that is where the fullness of God's plan will unfold, and only from that place. There are still many walking below that place and preaching words and speaking things that are keeping God's people out of the fullness of his plan. It is a grievous thing to the Father's heart. So we must be a people who are prepared that we might be instruments of his love and truth to a crooked and perverse generation, and to a religious structure that must be brought down. That the light of God must shine into that, so that they too might have that, be brought to that place of absolute or final decision, and then they too can enter into the fullness of the Father's plan for their life. I want to talk a bit about, in summing up this part, about six aspects of spiritual reality concerning life in the inner chamber, the importance. It is the first and foremost priority of our lives. It is the first and foremost and deepest desire of the Father's heart to take each one of his children in his arms and hold them and minister to them continually and bless them and love them and reveal himself to them. He will be doing that throughout eternity. But we need to begin now. Eternity has begun in that sense. And I said yesterday also, I shared that if each individual Christian will obey the instruction of the Holy Spirit to meet the Father and his Word on his terms, then they will explode into the fullness of the revelation of the third day, the fullness of God's plan, and they will be a people that walk in his perfect purpose with a pinpoint accuracy. Now that is extremely important. There's been too many loose ends in the past, and Satan has used those to keep people out of the kingdom. Amen. That will not be the case with the glorious church. We will be a people with that walk in pinpoint accuracy and exemplify his perfect purpose in every aspect of life and ministry. Number one, every child of God must continually seek to come to the place wherein they have a revelation of each and every aspect of the glorious covenant they have with the Father in Christ. Now, I mentioned yesterday that we are going to need to be those people who have a revelation of the fullness of our covenant.
Amen. Amen.
One, it is an honor to the blood of Jesus to do so. Jesus did not shed his blood so we could walk around half-hearted.
Amen.
And let the devil in the other half and so forth. That will end in this day, because if leaven remains, then leaven will consume the whole loaf. But if that leaven, on a positive note, is the love of God being shed abroad in our heart,
yes,
then we will come in, we will be consumed, yes, and we will be to overflowing with, yes, the mighty Spirit of God, and we will represent God perfectly. But it will go one way or the other in this earth.
Amen.
Number two, as one enters into the fullness of their salvation or inheritance in Christ, in this third day, they are going to have to be continually clothed and empowered by the precious blood of Jesus. Now, continually. This, and of course, this is one of the spontaneous byproducts of the life of abiding in love. Now, the reason why this is so is that there's great power in the blood. We've heard the song, power, power, power in the blood. There is great power in the blood. In many cases, in the church, people have held to a root of unforgiveness, which has led to a root of bitterness. And again, as I mentioned yesterday, Satan will always turn that in a person, and it will manifest in bitterness towards God or towards his people, but certainly towards his purpose. So we must be a people who are cleansed from all unrighteousness continually by the precious blood of Jesus. And I will go to that scripture later on, but 1 John 1:9 talks about if we confess our sins, if we are faithful to confess our sins, then we shall be cleansed from all unrighteousness continually. Now, there's two key aspects to that. I'm maybe getting ahead of myself a bit here, but it's here now, so we'll go with it. To walk in that place of being continually cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus is the key catalyst to maintaining proper fellowship in the inner chamber. Now, I'm going to go into this a little bit later, but I want you to understand that it's a very, very important for us to be a people who are free from all unforgiveness.
Amen.
When you begin to walk by an act of your will, to walk in forgiveness, to refuse to take no offense, you will gain a continually deeper revelation of why that's so important. But sometimes it does take faith. We've all been in situations where it's hard to forgive. Let's face it. I mean, that's the case. But praise God, when you make, by an act of your will, and you take a step in faith towards that, that peace will come. And that joy will come, and that love will come, and that wisdom will come to set the very vessel that Satan's using against you free. Number three, gaining and maintaining a deep revelation of the precious blood of Jesus and its powerful effects is the key to consistent fellowship in the inner chamber. I just did that step. But the fact is that this is where it comes down, where the rubber hits the road. The fact is, I mentioned this yesterday, that the Father in these days is now going to give the Word of God, or bring His people to the place where they give the Word of God preeminence. Truly give Him preeminence in the church. And in that, of course, is honoring of the blood. It's a very, very precious thing to the heart of the Father, the blood of Jesus. Again, we'll spend eternity learning about that glorious, glorious thing. But the fact is that now God is coming to judge all that is apart from Christ. Why wouldn't He? All that's apart from Christ is of the devil. Whatever's not from faith is sin. And we need to be a people who are ready, again, to be used as instruments of His absolute love, absolute truth, and absolute light in the midst of this world and in the church. Number four, all true kingdom work is predicated on being solely in Christ. Living and moving and having our being in Christ. Refusing by the Spirit of God working within us to move apart from Him. Now, I want to encourage you today. I want you to know that there is a place of rest. We know that. We've heard it preached. There is a place of rest. It's a glorious place. And there is a place in that rest as the believer enters in, having ceased striving from their own works, even to serve God in their own strength in any way, where the Word of God that is continually entering in truly becomes that living and active word that divides between soul and spirit. I mean, divides between soul and spirit. When God divides something, He divides it. There's no mistake.
Amen.
And it comes to the place where you can hear the Spirit of God coming in from your innermost being through your inner man, and you can discern the attacks of the enemy or the source or motivation of all things that are coming from outside the Spirit of God clearly. The one key aspect that I think of right now with the third day anointing, that is the anointing that's coming forth in the glorious church in this last hour, is clarity. There will be no mistake. God is not an unrighteous God. He's not an unjust God. No man goes anywhere but by their own choice. And He will make it quite evident that He is the place to go to. Again, just going back a bit on the importance of the revelation of the blood of Jesus. And it being the key to maintain that fellowship with God, we have to understand that if that blood is not working continually, then our conscience will not be clear before God. And what that causes, very subtly, I'm talking to people who are seeking God, very subtly, is that it will cause us in a moment, a key moment, to turn our back from God instead of running to Him. And again, that's why it's so important when anything happens in our lives, sin arises, whatever happens, we do or say something we shouldn't have done or said, we need to run to God. We need to plead the blood of Jesus. We need to gain understanding. When you do that, you won't do it again. But many people, because of a sin consciousness that still remains, some ground, they turn their back from God, and that's what Satan, exactly what he wants them to do. Because the further, when you do that, you're taking a step out into darkness, and of course, his subtle schemes can start to move in your life. We need to be a people who run to God. Don't ever be afraid of making a mistake. Don't ever be afraid of making a mistake. If you're afraid of making a mistake, you'll make mistake after mistake after mistake. It'll be done unto you as you've believed. When you operate in faith and love towards God, it doesn't matter how you feel. He will lead you into that perfect place. And I don't know how he does this, but somehow he'll take our mistakes and it'll be just like they never happened. And praise God, hopefully we won't make such serious mistakes that we'll have to deal with such awesome consequences. No, God knows he has a people whose hearts are wholly given to him. And it thrills his heart when we come to him. Satan, of course, portrays the exact opposite. We're in, he's going to strike you or beat you or judge you or condemn you or criticize you. Not so. I discussed that yesterday. He's perfect. Perfect. In other words, every time you make that move towards God, he is going to minister to your heart exactly what you need. Exactly what you need. And when you come to a realization of that, you run. Because I don't believe that we're a people that desire to make mistakes or desire to be in error or whatever. And so we have to understand these things. Again, a spontaneous byproduct of coming to know the Father as he is, as coming to know Jesus as he is. Hebrews talks about the fact that Jesus was the exact representation of the Father. So whether you're in the presence of the Father, and I'm going to deal with some scriptures that talk about them corporately ministering to us, you're going to get the goods. Mm-hmm. You're going to get what you need to do what he desires you to do. Number five, if we have the deep assurance in our heart that we are in the center of the Father's will, I'm talking about holy assurance, I'm talking about divine assurance, I'm not talking about self-assurance, that's the counterfeit. Unfortunately, it's a very good counterfeit in the sense, and I talked about this a bit yesterday too, that there are those who are so assured that they are in the center of God's will, but they're not. Who are they going to listen to? Who are they going to listen to? But there's always a sure giveaway in the counterfeit anointing. And that is, there will always be a spirit of self-justification that always rules right along behind that. Mm-hmm. Always. Uh-huh. Always. They may do it with a smile on their face, but that spirit of self-justification will work. Yes. Beware of a spirit of self-justification this hour. Yes. If we have the assurance in our heart that we are in the center of the Father's will and purpose, then it is certain that we shall be found standing or overcoming in all things. When you know because you know because you know because you know because you know, and I'm talking again, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you will be as bold as a lion because you will have an abiding righteousness or a realization of the righteousness of God within you, and you will be totally empowered by Him. Now this doesn't come by reading a few verses a week and doing your own thing the rest of the week. This comes by, all these things I'm speaking to you are based on you as individual Christians being in right relationship with the Father and His Word on His terms, without exception. It's no use, Vincent talked about the fact that we really are a people who desire to see the fullness of God. And there are reasons why that hasn't come yet. It is coming, up to this point. It hasn't come the way He wants it to. It has come to a degree and is coming to a greater degree with each passing day. Don't ever doubt that. Mm-hmm. No question. And as I mentioned yesterday at one point, there will be an explosion. Hallelujah. Because this revelation knowledge, this glorious revelation that is in the body of Christ now, the absolute truth that's being revealed from the throne room, is going to come into the midst, corporately, in the midst of a people who abide in righteousness before God, who abide in love before God and before all those who cross their path. And there is coming an explosion. Our job now is to get ready. That means do whatever God has us do in this time and stay ready And then we will see that in the perfect timing. Not only will we see that, we will experience it, and we will walk in it, and we will be instruments of that. And yet there will be people in this earth in the coming days and months and so on that do not see the glorious, the greatest manifestation of the presence of God this earth has ever seen. But we must be ready. We must focus on Jesus. We must focus on the fullness of the Father's plan. As we walk in the unadulterated power of God, the devil and his forces will be taken care of. And whosoever in this last hour calls upon the name of the Lord from their heart shall be saved. As it says at the end of Joel's prophecy and again repeated by Peter in Acts 2. When you read that whole prophecy of the glorious church, talking about your sons and daughters and dreams and so on, and it's a glorious thing, it's progressive, and it's coming to pass. And at the very end, he says, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a word I want you to just, I don't know where you stand with that word, but don't ever equate saved with new birth. It's not only new birth, it's the fullness of the salvation that is ours in Christ. You know, and this gospel that we preach is not the gospel of the new birth. It is the gospel of the kingdom. It is the gospel of the absolute fulfillment of the deepest thoughts and intentions of the Father's heart expressed through His Word to His people and to mankind. We have to get our thinking up into that absolute place if we are going to allow an absolute and unlimited God to dwell in our midst. Again, to come and be not just a visitation, but a habitation. That was a very good word yesterday. Very good word. That is the difference. Unfortunately, in many of the past glorious visitations, people have quickly plateaued and settled for that. And they said, oh, God's here. And in their heart, they said, we've arrived. But they hadn't. Paul warned. He said, no, we're not yet arrived. And so this generation, the thing that's different about this church, this glorious church, is that we will be a people that refuse to plateau. That we will just keep climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing until we're told to climb no more. Number 6. Every child of God needs to know and understand what it is to be loved by the Father. Now, I've touched on this more than a few times. But first of all, remember, it's the deepest desire of His heart to be known by you. He already knows us. We need to know and understand what it is. We need to walk in that place of close fellowship with God so we truly know and see and experience His perfection in all things. See, everybody talks about setting the captives free. This will set them free faster than anything I know of.
Lord.
Because He is Father. He is the fullness of Father. He's the fullness of motherhood. He has the ability and the desire and the willingness to meet every need at the deepest place. So one thing about Him I've noticed over the years, just the scripture coming to mind, was that Jesus talked about laying the axe to the root. And when God deals with us, He deals with us in a manner that goes right to the core. Always with a view, of course, in bringing us into that place of the fullness of all that we were created for. And so when He's dealing with us, we may not understand what He's doing, and we haven't over the years at times. But we know by faith that when we know His perfection, we know by faith that what He does is for our greatest eternal good at all times. All times. You know, looking back now, all the so-called hard times I went through, they were just as a result of a ground of fear that remained in my life. And as God brought me into certain situations and I had to make the choice to, you know, continue in fear or move on in faith and trust Him, not easy to trust from a position of fear. But I'll tell you, ultimately, as you're faithful to stay in His presence and to be diligent each day to guard your heart in His presence, in His Word, by the power of His Spirit, you will come to a place where you see and experience His perfection and you will not run anywhere else. You will see the folly of moving anywhere apart from fellowship with God and remaining in that place. And Jesus knew that. That's why He talks at such a great length of the importance of abiding. Abiding in love. And John talked about it. Many others. And we're going to go to some of those scriptures shortly. So every child of God needs to know and understand what it is to be loved by the Father. Having a revelation of the Father's perfect love is the catalyst to one abiding in an absolute trust toward or faith in Him. I talked a bit about yesterday about the fact that we are going to be a church that operates in an absolute faith, working through a perfect love, manifesting in a perfect obedience, which equals maximum fruit for the kingdom. Maximum fruit. So that is basically summing up what we did yesterday. I'm going to talk a bit about divine empowerment and the importance of words, because words are a very clear and extreme vessel or vehicle of the power of God in this last hour. Whether you're talking to a person one-on-one, whether you're preaching, whether you're proclaiming authoritative prayer, I'm going to talk a bit about that today, over someone that's not well, whatever it is, when our hearts are pure, the power in our words will increase, and they will accomplish exactly what God desires. When the Father said, "Light be," God said, "Light be," light was.
Amen.
What we speak will come to pass in this last hour to a continually greater degree,
yes. Yes.
Either in faith or in fear, for people in the earth.
Yes.
We've all seen that, a glimpse of that. We've seen how that, when I started out in this, I was proficient. You just tell me a situation, I could tell you the worst case scenario instantaneously. It was like an anti-anointing. It was not good. And then I figured, this was the deception in my mind. It was, well, okay, that's the worst case scenario. I could probably do a little better than that, so I came out ahead. That's a great way to live. But, of course, in this last hour, we're going to be able to instantaneously receive the wisdom of God in whatever we need. We're going to see God's purpose, regardless of the situation or the pressures around us. And we're going to be a people who boldly stand in faith, with no fear. And with a people like that, the devil has no opportunity, no ground. He will be defenseless against the glorious church in this last hour. And we will just simply, from the place of living and moving and having our being in Christ, move forth in obedience to God, devastating the works of the enemy on every front. Every front, from the grocery store to the nations. One thing we have to understand about divine empowerment is that what God commands, He empowers. When God gives you an instruction, don't fear. Because if you do, it indicates the fact that you are still thinking you have to do something yourself. You don't have to do that. You need to be in a place where you receive His commandment and then know by faith. And He'll teach you how to lock that thing into prayer and in faith. So it doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't make any difference. Maximum fruit will be accomplished in the church and in the kingdom. Turn over to Psalm 1. Now, Psalm 1 is an excellent psalm, as they all are. And I want to talk to you a bit about the importance of meditating in the Word. It's extremely important. When I began in this, I meditated completely in fear. And the words of the enemy, the lies of the enemy. And everything I did failed. No matter how good or the potential looked, it failed. Didn't matter. And there was no success. So we're going to look at a few scriptures here that talk about what happens when you meditate on the right things. And meditating, nobody needs to freak out about that, about New Age. I mean, meditating on the Word was there before New Age ever came about, or Old Age, as it might be called. All right, Psalm 1, verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. And in his law, or word, he meditates day and night. I don't think there's anything left beyond that, is it? Day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Again, it draws the picture of that continual nourishment. Another psalm comes to mind. The psalmist said, "Feed me with the food that is needful for me." And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Remember, we talked about maximum fruit. And its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. I might add, in whatever he says. What was that scripture we looked at yesterday? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you ask, whatever you desire, will come to pass. It will be done for you. It will be done. Again, in the first verse, it talks about, blessed is the man who does not stand in the counsel of the wicked. Positioning. What is the positioning of each Christian? Are they standing in the counsel of the wicked? God has a perfect positioning in any given moment for any Christian. It doesn't matter whether it's what church they attend, what book he has them read, what music they listen to, whatever. He knows what food we need. We don't have to figure that out ourselves. And when we do that, then we are going to have the proper nourishment and understanding. We will know what we need to know in any given moment. We won't have to be, oh, I need to know this, I need to know that. No, we'll know that we know. Even if it's the 2 seconds before we're going to speak, we will know. It takes faith. But see, he's faithful. I mean, when you're serving a perfect God, you can get out there on him. Now, sometimes we're a little unwilling in the beginning because he's dealing with fear in us. But I'm telling you, he's perfect. I've never been in any situation in 20-some years, no matter how hard, no matter how great, it didn't matter that I did not afterwards, having walked by faith, see the wisdom of God and the perfection of God in that, ultimately. And the further on I got, the more I saw it, because I began to understand his plan more. And so that's the way it is, day in, day out. And Jesus said, you know, live one day at a time. You know, don't get out there. You don't need to get out there. We need to be a people who live in the now. When you live in the now, he will reveal things to come by his Spirit. If you don't live in the now, you'll get a lot of help with things in the future, and it won't be the right Spirit. You see, it's all our self-desire. It's all whether it's self-desire or godly desire. If you have godly desire, he's perfect. It thrills the heart of the Father to reveal his plan. I'd be out walking in some of the hardest spots. I remember this. I can see him smiling now because he's something. I'm telling you. I'm out there. I'm going, oh, my God. Oh my, you know, speaking in faith, but not feeling too good. And all of a sudden, he starts talking to me about the ages to come. I don't know why he did that. He just did. And it was glorious. You know, so if we focus on Jesus, if we focus on the moment and abiding in that place of perfect obedience and fellowship with him, he will reveal things to come by his Spirit. Again, we're going to look at some of the scriptures in John concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So again, the fact that as we gain a continually deeper revelation of the Father's love, it is a catalyst for us to come into that proper fellowship with him. Because, I mean, we all know people we like to be around. Mm-hmm. You know, people you'd change your schedule around just to be around because they're around. Well, how much more than God? God's perfect. And that, but of course, you know, the devil is in the business of trying to misrepresent him and paint a picture of him that's not true. But he is perfect, and he is faithful. Turn over to Joshua 1. It's amazing. You know, I'm doing these scriptures, and a lot of these scriptures I'm dealing with are scriptures that, when I began, he gave me some scriptures, a particular set of scriptures that really, you know, go all through the Bible. And I used to go out and walk and meditate in those day by day. And some days it was glorious revelation came forth. You know, even I could be walking for 2 hours and realize I only read one scripture. And other days it was just grinding it out, you know, speaking it, nothing coming. Why am I doing this, thinking in my or in here? But keep going anyways. And that's the type of perseverance we have to have. You know, when I'll tell you this, when times seem hard, when they seem tough, when feelings are trying to overwhelm you and attack is coming, regardless of what it is, subtle or not so subtle, that's the time to really hold fast. Because that's the time when you can really build some true spiritual endurance in your inner man. And I'll tell you that the devil has no defense against that.
Amen.
You can decide how much, you are going to decide how much you're going to be influenced by God or by the lies of the enemy.
Right.
And so, you know, again, it's important to be in that place of giving the word preeminence. In Joshua 1, now this is, first of all, just a little setting of this situation. This is an amazing instruction that God gives Joshua. Why? Because Moses had just accomplished his ministry, just finished his ministry. And we know that Joshua sat under Moses for you know, many years, obviously, and was hanging on his every word, so to speak. So now this charge is being given to Joshua, and he's got to lead these millions of people into the fullness of the plan of God, into the promised land. And so I'm thinking, I really want to know what God says to him, because he's going to say what he needs to hear. And this is what he said. No man, verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's a pretty good start. That's a pretty good start. Just as I have been with Moses, and he saw that, didn't he? I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. How many times has God repeated that to us? I will never leave you or forsake you. You know, that's why when people walk by sense knowledge, they're defeated before they even start. No, we need to get the Word of God in our heart so that that revelation of that Word explodes within us and rises up within us and overwhelms any outward feeling that comes, any outward attack that comes. That's spiritual reality. That's spiritual reality. We can't be what God called at one point the soft underbelly of Christianity. We can't be that because Satan's just there to cut that and hurt that. We need to be a people who are strong, righteous, bold as a lion, putting forth the character of God as He truly is, showing people exactly who He is and what He's willing to do on their behalf. You know, people get all caught up in this fact that God is a severe God, an authoritarian, strict, and so on. No, the only time I've ever seen God act in the manner that in such a manner as that is when he came up against the devil and the things that he did, because he's a holy God. That's the way he reacts. He doesn't have to stop and think about whether he's upset with the devil or whether his wrath should go forth when confronted by that, by rebellion and so on. He doesn't have to stop and think. He's a holy God. It manifests. And so it will manifest through the glorious church in this last hour to those whose hearts are wholly given to the devil. I'll say this right now. I have great compassion for the church, of course, but people in the world too. I do. And I don't understand why there are people out there that have made the decision to go to hell. I don't understand that. Yeah. And I'm not going to try and understand that. Yeah. But I'm going to make sure that in my own life, and as I speak to the people of God who are truly seeking Him, I'm going to make sure that I'm walking in absolute faith, you know, working through that absolute love, manifesting in whatever needs to manifest in that moment, so that every man, at the very least, is brought to that place of an absolute decision before God. And God will do that, because Satan is a liar.
Amen.
He's a liar. We have great power in the church. Yeah. And in this last hour, the love of God will go forth in such a measure that people will get set free that you, again, I said yesterday, you never thought would.
Amen.
Or maybe you're believing, but it's awfully hard to think that some people are going to make it. We need to be a fit and ready vessel at all times, because as far as I'm concerned, as long as somebody's still breathing, then they still have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up on anything, because the day is coming when many, many strongholds that have been prayed over for years and years and years, in many cases, God used that to lead His people into faith and love, to see if we really loved with His love.
Yeah.
Or did we just try it for a while and say, oh, well, I guess that guy's going to hell, and move on to the next project?
Yeah.
I mean, that may sound a little crass, but honestly, you know, it's amazing what things have been called spiritual but have actually been so rooted in self-desire and self-agenda and self-glory. We need to be a people who are willing to do whatever it takes for anybody that God leads across our path at all cost to ourselves.
Amen.
Without exception.
Amen. Yes,
okay, in Joshua 1, verse 5, he said, at the end of verse 5, he said, I will be with you, I will not fail you or forsake you. That sounds like a pretty good deal. The scripture in 1 Corinthians says love never fails. Love never fails what? It never fails to accomplish what love desires to accomplish. That's why it's so important when you're interceding or when you're praying for somebody, whether a corporate body or just an individual, that you get a revelation of God's will concerning them. And then you get the wisdom from Him of what it's going to take to bring whatever it needs to be brought down, down. And you stay there until you get that. It's no use trying something. Trying something won't get it done in this last hour. It's very, very important, as I said yesterday, that we realize if we sow to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we will reap life. If we sow to the flesh, we will reap darkness and corruption and death. Or you could say it another way, in the case of ministry, we will impart it. So we have to choose whether we're going to be vessels of His absolute life and love and light and truth or minister death. It's a subtle thing, you see. Throughout the years, just the way it's worked out, when God called me out of my last secular job, He said, I want you to eat, sleep, drink, and breathe My Word. And then about 6 months later, He said, I want you to begin to intercede for My glorious church and godly leaders in this last hour. Well, like everybody else, I thought it was going to be like in a year and a half. What did happen, though, was for 15 straight years, this thing in the natural looked like it was going backwards. And I know there was a few movements slipped in here or there, but I knew that wasn't it. Thank God for every righteous act that was accomplished in the second day. And thank God that He will use that. But now we're in a different time and a different day. And now God is requiring all that He requires of His people in this hour. That's a glorious thing.
Yeah.
That's not something we should be afraid of. I said yesterday, we're the most blessed generation to walk the face of this earth. But we will be held accountable for what we've been given. To whom much is given, much is required. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. We as the Third Day Church will give the possession of the fullness of all that Christ accomplished at the cross to all those who truly desire it. We will impart that. We will lead the people there. Only be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Anytime you see the word very, it's very, very important. It's very, very important. So he says, only be strong and very courageous. Well, if he commands us to be very courageous, not only does he empower us, it shows that we're going to need to be courageous in this last hour. But again, what God commands, He empowers.
Amen.
Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful or take heed to do according to all the law or the word which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. That's why it's a narrow path. There's no right or left. There's just one straight line, a highway of holiness that we talked about yesterday. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Can you see the absolute kingdom principles here?
Yeah.
This is why we have to meditate on the Word day and night and get these words deep within us so that they are part of us. So that again, when different situations arise, what comes out of our heart are not words of fear. And I'm going to go to those scriptures shortly. But out of the abundance of our heart come words of faith and power and love and truth. One of the reasons, quite simply, it's a very simple reason, but it's a very, very important reason, why God hasn't been allowed or in His wisdom has not allowed certain things to be revealed at this point is because He's teaching His children to watch their words.
Amen.
And, you know, the people who are faithful to put the word in, the word comes out. The people who aren't faithful to do that, something else comes out that's not good. So, It's very, very important to meditate in the Word day and night. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful or take heed to do according to all that's written in it. If we don't have the Word in there, we don't have the Spirit, if we don't allow that Word to in our hearts, it won't come out in the situation we need to have it. And consequently, it sets in motion a whole cycle that's wrong. And I'll tell you, it's very, very important this last hour for every Christian to be in the right place at the right time doing the righteous thing. It's that simple. And the fact is, when we are, then again, that is a catalyst to bearing maximum fruit for the kingdom. Verse 9, God summarizes. Have I not commanded you? In other words, have I not commanded you? In other words, if I've commanded you, I will empower you. Don't be afraid. This is the way we need to approach the Word of God. He's watching over His Word to perform it, Jeremiah 1:12 says. Watching over all the time. When we speak it in accuracy and in the right motivation, that is motivated by the Spirit of love, the very Holy Spirit Himself, it will accomplish all that God sent it for. And it will succeed in the matter for which it was sent perfectly. Whether we see it right there or not makes no difference. Our job is to obey. But of course, as I said, in this last hour, we are going to see some things.
Hallelujah.
We are going to see some things. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, he repeats it. Wherever you go in obedience to him, he is with you. It doesn't matter whether it feels like he's with you or not. He is with you. Oh, how it blesses his heart when we just make that confession, regardless of our situation. No, Father, I just thank you by faith that you're with me. I don't understand what's going on. I don't feel so good, but I know you're with me. And I know that you will accomplish everything that you desire to accomplish in this moment. And see, you could come to a place where you continually override the soul. You can continually come to a place where the spirit man is in dominance over the soul and the body. Then you'll experience what the soul was really meant to be. And what the body was meant to be, to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit, to a vehicle of the Holy Spirit, to move around wherever God tells us to go. You know, I mean, it's a great thing what God is going to accomplish in this last hour. But, you know, we're going to see miracles. We're going to see a lot of things. But I'll tell you one thing. Still, the greatest miracle I have ever seen as it pertains to the body is for a child of God or a person to be born again to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized with fire, and come into that place of abiding in Christ, living continually and completely for God in all things. That is the greatest miracle. And boy, you know God loves that, and he's just showing the devil what he can do through that. But that's still the greatest miracle. So even though we're going to see great miracles of healing and so on and so forth, it's still the greatest thing that we have is the power of God's love to bring people into the fullness of all that they were created for. That's a miraculous thing. It's a wonderful thing we've been entrusted with. And it's a glorious thing and a joyous thing. This is not work. Living for the devil is work. Living for God is not work. Okay, turn over to... maybe I won't go there. Actually, turn over to Matthew 10. It's just amazing these things are coming. I'm standing here after years, and God's putting some things together. And as I said yesterday, it wasn't quite this smooth always in my life. That's a very vast understatement, I must say. I mean, every day it seemed like for years was a struggle, 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 struggle. But by His grace, and it came down to that. And that really, I think that it's very, very difficult to separate that place where the child of God truly enters into rest. And when they truly, finally have a revelation that it was His grace that got us to that place, His grace alone. And I shared this a bit yesterday. I just shared it. I got to a place in 97, and I'm going along. I'm wondering, I had a wall.
I mean, you know, they talk about a wall and a marathon and things like this, but I mean, this was a big, dark, black wall, which was, you know, it was there, and I didn't see any way through it. I said, Father, I've gone all these years. I said, you know, I just feel like I haven't done anything for you. And he said, you haven't. I went, not what I wanted to hear. You see, I still, those last vestiges of self-pity were remaining, and he shocked me. And then I realized instantaneously that no, I hadn't done anything for him on my own strength. Anything that I had done was strictly by his grace, by his empowerment. Amen. And it was a catalyst, a stepping stone for me. And a lot of glorious things happened that summer. But instantaneously, from that place of self-pity, it's the last time I remember being in it. I don't think it's been there since then, by his grace. But it was a long work. It was a 20-year work in that particular case. But instantaneously, he gave me a vision. And I saw a path in heaven, a pathway. And on that pathway, I saw Watchman Nee, who was a spiritual mentor of sorts to me. And lo and behold, he was walking down this path in heaven, and he had his arm around the shoulder of my mother. And my mother was a godly woman. And she'd gone to be with the Lord in 78, and so on. And what I saw was, he was explaining what was going on the earth, in the church, and what the fullness of God's plan was to my mom. Now, that was a personal thing for me and the Father, but I'll tell you, I could still see that vision clearly right now. And the fact is, he just sealed something there by his Spirit and showed me that don't ever get discouraged. Don't ever get discouraged. You know, we're in a very good place right now. All right. Now, I told you to turn over to Matthew 10. Now, in Matthew 12, verse 34 to 37, the Amplified, it says, out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then it goes on to say, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idol. And the bracket, inoperative, non-working, non-faith-producing word they speak. Boy, I'll tell you, Jesus just said every.
Every.
I'm just reading out of the Amplified Bible, Matthew 12. Yeah, sorry, I will get to Matthew 10. Yeah. And in Ephesians 4:29, Paul said, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may impart or give grace to those who hear. Now, there's a lot in that passage. First of all, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Only such a word as is good for edification, the building up.
Building up.
Building up. Building up of the heart that's seeking to be established in Christ. It'll tear down anything apart from that. That's just it's the anointing. The anointing will go forth. It'll tear down what needs to be teared down. It'll build up what needs to be built up. But eventually, it will build up everything. Because some things you just can't build on, as we know. In Matthew 10, I was reading this, and it really blessed me. I read this chapter, I don't know how many times, but a lot. And in verse 16, it says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall even be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles, or as evidence. Evidence, that's what the word means. It means witness or evidence. But when they deliver you up, do not become anxious about how or what you will speak. Again, we talked about that before. For it shall be given you in that hour what you are to speak. Now that's a very extreme situation, and some of us will go through that in that sense. And we'll be in that place. But it doesn't matter whether you're going to your local grocery store or you're standing before kings or you're standing in the face of persecution, you will be given the word that you need to speak as you remain in fellowship with God, proper fellowship with God. Very, very important, because in this last hour, words are going to be the vehicle to the unfolding of the Father's plan in the hearts and lives of the people that cross our path. We are coming into a time where, and we should have seen this before, to a greater degree than we have. We study the ministry of Jesus. We see that when he prayed, he didn't pray for 16 hours over the people he was ministering to. I'm not saying, of course, he spent time with the Father on the mountain. A lot. A lot. But when he came out of that place of fellowship with God, he spoke into the situation with perfect accuracy and gained perfect results, as we saw. We need to be a church that's operating in authoritative prayer. And to do that, we need to be a people who meditate in the Word day and night. We need to be a people who are filled to overflowing with the revelation of God and the love of God, so that each word that we are given and that comes out of our heart will be saturated with the very love and the very presence of God Himself. See, this is where the results come from. It's not a matter of throwing a few words out there and hope people take heed to them. People who are interested in having people hear what they say are not motivated properly. I'm not saying a man or woman of God shouldn't stand up here and want people to hear what God's giving them to say. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we trust God for the words that He gives us to speak in any given situation, knowing that His perfect purpose is accomplished by faith. By faith. Every time you operate in faith, you're releasing more of God. We need to stay in faith. We need to be alive. We need to speak in the now and to the now, to the present situation. See, all these things work together to cause us to be perfect vessels in the sight of the Father. What that means to Him is vessels that can be used to do whatever He needs us to do or say. It's that simple. You see, the one thing, and the reason why people have missed it to a degree, one thing they don't understand about the glorious church is it will be totally empowered by God. It will be totally empowered by God dwelling in and through His people. But it will be totally God.
Amen.
He is coming to judge all that is apart from Christ, as I mentioned yesterday. And there are people that say, well, I'm not apart from Christ. I'm not apart from Christ. I'm not apart from Christ. It will be seen. It will be seen by the power of God. In Matthew 10, verse 16, I started there, sorry. Yes, this is what came to me. Verse 20. This is what jumped out at me. It blessed me. I never saw this before. Don't ask me why. I don't know. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now you can understand why it's so important for us to represent the Father's character without exception. Because people, when they truly see Him as He is, they will be set free.
Amen.
It won't matter what He has us do or say. Yes. They will be set free.
Yes.
And believe me, God is going for the greatest eternal benefit of every person who crosses our path. And so should we be in agreement with Him on that. Whether we see it or whether we don't, doesn't matter. When we're finished doing something, and it doesn't matter what they do, our confession should be, Father, I just thank You that Your greatest eternal benefit entered into that person's life, and it doesn't make any difference what I see or feel or hear or think. I know that it's done in Jesus' name, and that's it.
Amen.
And you walk on. We're going to be a people who keep walking. You can't stop and look and see what's happening. I don't know if the Father will allow me to do this before I leave, but I had a very interesting experience in the summer of 97. And he brought me into a place where I saw the glorious church in action. And I'll tell you one thing. I have diligently sought God the last 5 years. You know, He's still dealing with us and dealing with me. And through the things, whatever I've gone through the last 5 years, I have not even come anywhere close, for the most part, to approaching where He took me in that time. And the place He took me was a place where we will abide in. So, you know, I'm just going to encourage you right now. And if He gives me if He allows me to share it, I will. But the fact is, get the fear out. Get the worry out. Get the anxiety out. It's foolishness in the sight of God.
Amen.
Do you know that fear is foolishness in the sight of God?
Yes, it is.
It's not that we don't have compassion on people who are locked in fear. But my God, as Christians, with the mighty Word of God at our disposal, every disposal, we need to be people who get into that place of giving the Word preeminence, that perfect love, that we come to abide and we'll cast out that fear. And we'll be free to set others free.
Hallelujah.
See, it's not going to work. We can't just hope for a glorious church to come on the scene. We have to partake. Do our part in it. And God, and enter in. And God has made that provision for us gloriously in this time. And again, you know, as I said yesterday, I'm speaking to whosoever. But mostly I'm speaking to people that God has raised up for the times ahead where you can go and impart His love and truth to people.
Yeah.
Where you can be vessels of freedom to people. And that's what we want.
Yeah.
You know, we've spent enough time being prepared and being set free. God's saying that. We've spent enough time. He said, we're ready. We're more ready than we know we are. I know that. I know that for a fact. And of course, again, another spontaneous byproduct of fellowship with God, that's where we get that deep assurance that we're on course. I've been through some hard times. They weren't hard. I thought they were. They're not hard now. They were hard then. But it was my flesh, you know. I mean, I've been through hard times, but, you know, two things used to happen. One of two things. I remember one time I was in the hardest time I'd ever been in. I can remember up to that point. And all of a sudden, through all the haze and darkness and clouds, In the spirit, I see a smile on the Father's face. It's in the spirit. I knew the Father was smiling. My first thought was, what are you smiling for? Don't you understand what kind of situation I'm in here? That didn't last long. And then I smiled. Because I realized if He's smiling, then I don't have any problems at all. You know, and in the toughest situation I'd ever been in as far as persecution went, I'm walking along the road praying, confessing everything I can confess. You know, I could hardly stand up. So I just had to keep walking because if I sat down, I was toast. That was it. I knew it. And so I'm praying in the Spirit, walking through this city in Canada. I'm praying in the Spirit, and I'm going, pray, you know, praying in the Spirit. I couldn't even, I ran out of faith confessions. I did. And finally, I get to this spot. I could take you to it right now, even 5 years, 4 years later, four and a bit. And all of a sudden, I hear the voice of the Father deep in my spirit. He says, right in this tone, He says, you know you're in a good place, don't you? And I went, yeah, I do. I kept walking. I mean, this is the place. You know, I mean, we're all learning to walk by faith. But, you know, the reality of the situation was, He was with me wherever I was going. Didn't matter what I felt like. And that was a very strange situation, I'm telling you. Total unexpected. I mean, you know, but I'm not going to go into that for sure. But the fact is that we have to be ready. And when we are, and things happen, and they will happen, glorious things, and they're all glorious. Because like I said yesterday, if you take that, you stand in faith that the weapon formed against you won't prosper. Not only will you gloriously overcome, but you will turn the tables on Satan and devastate him to the point where he's just not going to be bothering with you quite as much to a lesser and lesser degree, till ultimately we corporately are just going to be running roughshod over him at every turn, going wherever God leads us. I mean, it's funny, you know, we talk about the logistics of a glorious church, but I think one thing is quite clear. We're going to have to be a people who hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, and so you can understand why God has taken such great efforts to prepare us. But we're prepared now. I mean, there is a prophetic and apostolic proclamation going forth now. It is time. It is the fullness of time. What does it mean? It means that the fullness of God's plan is coming forth. The deepest thoughts and intentions of His desire, that which He intended all along, is now about to manifest into this natural realm.
Yeah.
What that literally means is, eternity is about to enter into time. See, our God is not a God of time, heaven. He's not a God of time. So when His will manifests in time, that is the fullness of time for that aspect of His will. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. But it is the fullness of time.
Yeah.
It is the time for the unfolding of all things according to His most holy purpose. And they will unfold with perfect accuracy. And you know, that scripture comes to you in Ephesians where He will do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think. You realize when Paul wrote that was based on what we ask or think according to the revelation that's in us. That means we're believing from a revelation we have. He's going to do more than that anyways. That's God. You all know this. When He touches something, He always, there's that little extra or more, a lot more extra actually. Always. Why? Because He's God. And He can't touch anything without increase. Can't do it. Glorious increase.
Glorious
increase. So that passage blessed me there. But it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you that blessed me. We will be a people who represent the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Perfect accuracy. Turn over to John 14. This is a really good section of Scripture when you're talking about the Holy Spirit and when you're talking about God's intention and purpose towards us as far as His ministry to us. John 14, starting in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Is there anything that could be misunderstood about that? No. And yesterday we talked about the fact that if we love Him, we'll come into His presence, into that perfect fellowship. And that's where we get His commandments. That's where we understand His perfect will. Again, perfect will manifests in two things: a revelation of the will of God, the Word of God, and the unction or the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to bring that to pass with perfect accuracy, whatever that means in any given situation. Always those two things work together. Always. Many times people got a revelation of God's will concerning the church. Got a revelation. But they took the ball and they ran with it. They neglected to wait on the Lord. And what does it say in Psalm? Is it 127? Unless the Lord builds the house, they who labor, labor in vain. Or futility. Futility. Okay, John... In verse 15, sir. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. You know, it comes to me as I read this that just where people were, like the disciples, where they were at that point, they're listening to Jesus, and they're saying, yeah, that's good. And those words probably didn't mean quite as much to them as it did after the cross and the resurrection, because they needed to have those words in their heart. And of course, it goes on, and we're going to read that scripture. The Holy Spirit brought it to their remembrance. They needed that. They didn't understand what He was saying at the time. You know, just like they didn't understand the cross when He explained that. You know, Peter, of course, just stepped forth and said, well, no, that's not for you. And Jesus didn't take that too kindly. Peter thought He was speaking words of life and help. And Jesus called it for what it was. It was an impartation of death, Satan's attempt to stop Him accomplishing the Father's purpose. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. I mean, you see what when I talk about God revealing Himself in His absoluteness? That He will be with you forever. Eternally. But He will be with you forever. That means from now, the rest of the time, we're in this earth, He'll be with us. You see, we have to have these things burned in our heart. These are not just nice words printed on nice pages. This is the living Word of God, and it becomes real to us that we might live and move and have our being in Christ. And I will say in this hour that God, again, is giving His Word preeminence in the midst of His people. It's precisely why I was so blessed, Vincent, last year. I don't know if you remember this or not. You probably do. Vincent stood up last year at the conference, and he said, well, you know, he said, I'm impressed that whatever God is going to impart is going to be imparted through the Word that's spoken. I only heard one other man say that in all the years I've seen ministry. I've been separated unto God, so I haven't seen a lot of ministry in that sense. But that blessed me, because that's a third-day revelation. And what it means is this. Of course, I'm not against people having hands laid on them in prayer. That's not what I mean. What the Father was speaking through Vincent when he spoke that was the fact that now is the time for each and every one of my children to come into a revelation of the fullness of their covenant in Christ. You see, because we are called to be a vessel of healing to the nations, to the people. And so as we, again, grasp by revelation the fullness of our inheritance in Christ, then we can go forth to impart it. Another kingdom principle. You cannot impart what you do not have.
Amen.
Whether you think you do or not, you cannot impart what you do not have. And what you have, you will impart. So, we're coming down to absolutes. But Vincent said that, and it blessed me. Because, and that's really, for the most part, what happened, right? It was good. It was very, very good. But that was a very accurate word. And that's the type of... that takes revelation to say that. Because, I don't want to downgrade anything that was done righteously in the second day. Because things were needed. But we're in a different time now. And we need to make that transition. We need to lay aside. You said something Friday night. Talking about, you know, just put everything behind you. And when he said that, he meant even the revelations God's given you. You know? And so when we do that, what happens is now God can focus everything he's given us right into that perfect vision that he wants to reveal to each and every one of our hearts. One of the strong exhortations he gave me to give, to send to his people that were seeking him, that I would run across, was basically this. You know, may the Father bless you with deep insight into the fullness of his plan for the church and your perfect part in it in this most critical and glorious hour. And if people receive that, they'll get it. We need to have that. And so, you know, God is raising up men and women, and they are proclaiming things, and it's kind of taking us out of the realm of, I can use the word tradition. I'd say more routine, like routine, because we need to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we can't just assume that something is God because we did it last week. I'm sure you all know this, but what I'm saying to you now is we need to act and move with pinpoint accuracy so that we gain maximum results. Maximum results. And it takes people who can hear the voice of God. It takes people who are not afraid of what men think.
Amen.
I'll probably get into that a bit tomorrow. Because, again, what God commands, he empowers. He calls us not to fear man, but to fear him in holy reverence. Then he empowers it. That's a horrible thing, to fear man. I started out in the fear of man. I tell you, I was at the point when I started out in this. I mean, two people could be walking down the other side of the street talking or giggling or something like that, and I'd think they were talking about me. I mean, that's pathetic. No, that is really pathetic. And so, I had a ways to go, and we still have to guard our heart with all diligence each and every day, because just about the time you get a little, I don't have that fear, you know, boom, comes the devil with something, and out of your mouth comes a word. What did I say that for? No, we have to guard our heart with all diligence, of course. You know. But the fact is, there is deliverance from that. Now,
amen.
Better get on with this. Verse 50, where was I? Here we go. Verse 18. No, where am I? 14, 17. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. Well, they don't know him because they don't behold him. People don't know God because they don't behold him. Christians don't have a revelation of the fullness of their covenant because they don't behold that covenant. They don't have the word before their eyes day and night. They don't behold the very perpetrator of that covenant. That's the word that came to me. But you see what I mean? The very author of that covenant. We need to behold. He says, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. What a prophetic word that is. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I know that these words just resonated, just burned in their spirit after Pentecost. They got into some tough times after the cross. I mean, you talk about absolute fear trying to come on the scene. I mean, Satan was trying to take the church out before it even began. So you can imagine they faced some things. But I know that these words, because they're in his presence, and they spoke in his presence, and they wouldn't have been there. Don't forget in John 6, they had the opportunity to go. Remember that? It said, if you eat my flesh, drink my blood, and people are going. And it says most of his disciples left. And then he turned to them, and he said, will you go too? Obviously, they'd been thinking about it. He knew that. And then their answer was, he didn't say this, but he might as well have said it. Well, we thought about it, but we don't have anywhere to go. Can't think of anywhere to go. But anyway, yeah, that's our Lord. He's my hero. What can I say? I mean, look at his ministry. Boy, I'll tell you, he spoke a word which a vast number of people would think were unloving words in many situations.
That's right.
But he always was focused on what the Father was saying, because he knew that what the Father was saying was for the greatest eternal benefit of those people. And I mentioned yesterday about his mothers and brothers and sisters. Their hearts weren't right. They were standing outside that meeting. And so when the question was put to him, he said, "Who are my mothers and brothers and sisters?" "Those who do the will of God."
Amen.
He's my hero.
Amen.
You know, and Vincent, you mentioned last night about your daughter. I've been there. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm very serious. And, you know, in that situation, I mean, boy, you could deal with that a situation very similar. For instance, a child that age, somewhere outwards, outside of your circle, and you every time, you know, not a problem. But boy, there's something about our kids, you know. You get into that place, and one thing it does serve to do is it serves to burn out any ground of emotional attachment that's there, anything that would place our children above the Lord. And ultimately, what happens is, you know, we come into that place where we know that it's folly to try and handle a situation with fear, whether it's our children or the church or anywhere. It doesn't work. And then we by faith, it's another little situation about you not being moved by what you feel, but by faith, you get the wisdom of God, you speak into that situation. And it'll just deal with that situation. Do you realize there is only one force on the face of this earth that can overcome rebellion? Just one. Love. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of love. That's it. So, you know, and we are about, God has come to judge all rebellion in this earth. And we see it in the type and symbol of Korah's rebellion. We see that. Actually, that's the type and symbol of judging rebellion in the midst of his people. And as you saw, that was an absolute judgment. You know, I mean, it's not like God sees this and sees that. He sees rebellion. He sees Satan, because Satan is, his very existence is the very principle of rebellion, in the same way that the existence of Jesus is the principle of obedience. Yeah, and so it's a spontaneous manifestation, and that will happen. But again, not to deal with the negatives, but the point is, God is dealing with us so that His perfect love will flow through us. And when we're dealing with our family or with the church or whatever we're dealing with, then that ground of fear will not be there. And we will speak and act in the wisdom of God in that time. And it's part of the learning process. I think I learned more. I had a situation in my own life where I was alone with the Lord for 5 years, and my youngest son came back to live with me in that time. And it was a bit of a transition. I had to raise my son. Well, I learned more in the time that he was with me. It was hard. I mean, I'm just like eating, sleeping, drinking, breathing the Word, and floating from place to place, you know. But now I had to deal with the day-by-day practical issues. And it was a catalyst of the Lord to teach me. You brought that scripture last night about you know, our children being right to our minister. Well, that's true in an outward sense. But the most important thing is the inward sense, that if we're walking in love, then, you know, we're training up our children in the way they should go, then it will, at the same time, they won't depart from it, but we will be prepared in that, because that's tough.
That is.
I mean, it's not hard to deal with strangers. But when you deal with people where there's, you know, past emotional attachments, whatever, it's part of the refining process. It's part of the renewing of the mind. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. All right. Verse 20. We better go here. Okay. Verse 19. "After a while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me because I live. Because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Verse 23. "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." And again, you draw the picture of abiding. Abiding in the presence of the Father, abiding in the presence of Jesus. It's a cycle. It's the kingdom cycle that we're called to live in. If we can do nothing apart from Christ, and all kingdom service is predicated on the fact that we're in Christ, then we surely must be found in Him. We cannot hope to do anything and accomplish anything for God apart from Christ. So if we will keep His commandments, here's the cycle. If we will come into his presence on his terms continually, day by day, meditating in his word day and night, then, you see, we will come to abide in him and him in us, and they will make their abode with us, their home, where they dwell. That's where we come to understand the deepest thoughts and intentions of the Father's heart. What time is it? Just 3 minutes, okay. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. All things. And bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Again, another aspect of putting the word in our heart. And it, in that time, it will come forth. And I'll close with this, and I'll continue on here in the next teaching and go on wherever else God has me to go from there. But one of the important things you have to understand about the delegated authorities of God and the fivefold ministry, and I touched on it a bit yesterday, is this. That we are here to confirm that which God has already planted in your heart in some form of seed or other, and expand. And then, each member of the body, and this is what's going to happen in the third day. I've seen it. We have this operating in Kremlin. What happens is, then the people, those seeds are planted in the people's hearts, the things are confirmed and expanded, then they go forth and they can speak it, and then it's expanded to the person they're given to, even the person that just delivered the word to them. I've seen that. You see, one of the great things is that there are different aspects and different callings in every member of the body. But you know, I've seen it where, you know, I've put forth the absolute principles of God. That's really where the office of the apostle dwells in, is just to simply take these absolute principles. And there's an anointing on that to plant seeds, like I explained yesterday. But in our church in Kremling, we have two tremendous young people, and they are true prophetic teachers, third-day teachers. And so what has been happening is that as these principles go forth from Bill and Marcia and myself and whoever else God's feeding them from, then I'll sit in the front pew and I will hear them speak and expand on what I spoke. And it's a continual process of enlightenment. It is an amazing thing. And boy, I'll tell you, when the body truly operates in that fashion, the spiritual progression, the spiritual elevation is amazing. It's quick. That's very good. Quick. And so, again, I'm going to close right now. And we'll continue on with this. It's extremely important to remember this whole thing about going to the Father and finding out what He requires of you. Whatever that is. Because I'm prophesying to you right now, again, that He will explode these things in your heart and He will bring you into a place you never thought possible this side of heaven. Amen.